Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, shit.
Can you hear me?
Mike, I can hear you, but I'm getting the feeling you can't hear me.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, good start. Hang on a sec.
Why can't I hear you?
You hear me now?
Hold on. That's why I can't hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, it was me not hearing. I find that intensely irritating when people say, can you hear me now? And it's like, I can't hear them. Sorry. You get where I'm coming from. And I'm sorry, dear listener, I'm late to the party.
Oh, like, how long have we been doing this, Mike?
Years, and you're always late, but you sent me the link, and I must admit, I was on the toilet, and I had remembered at 12 o'clock that we were doing this, and then it had gone completely out. I'd had such a nice lunch that it had gone straight out of my mind.
What if this was live television or live radio and you just said, oh, go to the toilet?
Do people have to have a shit?
Yeah, but you've got to time these things, Mike, you know? I mean, you know, working in the live radio profession for 20 years, you've got to know your body and time your toilet breaks, you know?
People must get caught short.
Well, you know, you've got to get up early, you've got to have whatever food you're having either after the show or, you know, just before the show, but you've got to have done your early morning ablutions.
Right.
Yeah, beforehand. Yeah, because, you know, you could have a 3-hour radio show and you don't have the time to just nip out, really. I mean, look, if it happens, it happens. You can play Stairway to Heaven or something, but generally you want to get that shit out of the way. Literally.
Yeah, and I suppose the adrenaline keeps you going, does it? And sort of like running a marathon, you never see. Oh, well, people, you do actually see people. I'm actually contradicting myself.
That's another thing that people don't talk about when they're running marathons. Is sometimes you have to jump into the ditch, and you know, do whatever you need to do. And that happens a lot when you're training because you start doing your longer runs and you haven't got the like on the day of the marathon, you've got everything sorted. So you know what time you're getting up, but you know what time you're going to the toilet, you know what food you're eating, all that kind of stuff. But when you're training, you're still getting used to that. So a lot of the times when you're going your longer run, you're jumping into the bushes, you know, and bringing wipes with you and all that kind of stuff. It's good crack. You should try it.
Dear listener, Keith Walsh's internet seems to have completely gone.
Oh, no. Don't tell me the internet's gone again.
Dear listener, we interrupt this podcast to tell you that Keith's internet momentarily dropped, but he eventually got it back and working, and I hope that that's the end of the internet problems. I really hope. We pick it up where Keith is nibbling on a pineapple and Mike is commenting on how bad it is for the environment. Take it away. Thank you for your patience at this time.
Well, look where they come from.
Oh, yeah. It's not good for the environment.
No, not at all. Like, it's not even the food miles. It's the water, the crops, the pesticides, the herbicides to keep these things, you know. You think of the amount of water for an avocado, the amount of water for a pineapple in the middle of Hawaii. You know, I was in Hawaii once, and you see pineapple fields everywhere.
What's a pineapple like in Hawaii?
Yeah, it was nice.
It's not like much tastier or anything.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think it was. I was wealthy enough at the time to have fresh pineapples because they were still really expensive.
Oh, were they? Yeah, but they're supposed to make your taste like. No, I didn't need to whistle. I didn't need to whistle out the pineapple bit.
No, same as said of strawberries.
Apparently. Really, it's supposed to make your taste like the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And asparagus.
Well, that just makes your wee smell.
Only 50% of the people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of people don't get the old asparagus, Wes.
Oh, wow. As soon as I eat asparagus, my wee bangs of asparagus.
And you know what? Asparagus is an expensive thing. And I had an issue with a lady in a well-known supermarket.
Yeah.
Who used to just fire the fucking asparagus down the hatch at the end of the thing. It was one of these speedy kind of checkout things.
Yeah.
And she broke all the tips off my asparagus.
Now. Oh, Jesus.
This is not, I've got to take that back. Oh, no, just keep going. You'll be fine. It's like, no. You put that through, $1.39 for a thing of asparagus.
Yeah.
Make shit at the top of it. That's the tasty bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how anyone can eat that stuff anyway.
This is none of your business. This is my shopping. Like if she smashed the bottle of wine and then just said, "I'd be grand." Don't know how anyone drinks that shit anyway.
There's one less hangover for you.
I'm doing you a favor here. Don't know how you eat that shite. I'm just going to fuck these apples at the wall down here. No point in fucking eating those yolks. Yeah, sure, they're fucking, the pips are poisonous.
Bleach. Who needs that shit? Fires it across the shop.
Let me just open the lid here for you. Just fuck it over there. Man, I was at a well-known supermarket chain yesterday, and I don't know if it's the same one you're talking about, but trying to keep up with the speed of the, you see, what you're supposed to do in those German ones is basically park your trolley at the end, fill your trolley up, and then go to the bagging area and do your bagging, right? But us Irish, we're not into that shit. We want to fucking get it straight in, you know, just get into the bags as it's coming. Oh my God, the stress of keeping up with
it. Very, very stressful. And if you've got a bad back or an injury or something, fucking hell, it's awful. And then you're supposed to slot it in. You know, you notice the way your trolley is supposed to slot in from
slots in. Yeah, you go.
Yeah, but they leave the fucking doors open and you can't slot it in. And then every time I slot mine in and do it properly, some guy comes in and goes,
"We're talking about traffic here." Open.
I've to open that door there because I have to open up till number 6. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Why did you design the doors around the other side, you fucking German fucks?
Oh, God. Well, they're not usually German, are they? They're just local people working in the shops. Oh, but the people who designed possibly could be German. Yeah, yeah. I love German people just to give a bit of balance.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah. I love them.
Anyone after 1945, I need the Germans.
I heard about the
1945 onwards. Oh, other than the Germans that moved to Argentina around that time.
Yes, of course. Or Brazil.
Or Brazil, or any of those South American countries. Yeah,
or the moon. Apparently one of them with the moustache, famous fella, who was actually Austrian by birth, was seen on the moon a couple of years ago with Elvis.
Ah, wow. just wandering around.
Having a cup of tea.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, cheap tea.
Were they on the dark side or this side?
They were the dark side of the moon, yeah, because Pink Floyd wrote a song about it.
Yeah, very good. Very good. How have you been, Mike? Tell us about the life of Mike. What have you been up to?
Well, I've had a bit of vagary recently. In recent times, I've been trying to sort of, I don't know why, but I've been trying to sort of get rid of shit in my life. And little bits and things. And
physical shit or emotional shit?
Physical. I don't think you can ever get rid of the emotional stuff. And I don't think it's a good idea to get rid of it. It's a good idea to have a look at it, take it out of the box and unwrap it and sort of cuddle it every once in a while. But don't put it back in the box. But that's a metaphor for little bits of shit. So, I mean, I went through, I was looking for, I got bitten by something the other day, a fly or something. So I went looking for the Anthazan cream, the antihistamine cream. We have two little shelves with little plastic things where we put all of our drugs. And one of the drugs things kind of, it's an unwritten rule. Nobody's ever come up with a rule for it, but the one on top sort of had all the pills in it. And the one on the bottom had things like ointments and plasters and stuff like that. So I went looking for this cream and I couldn't fucking find it. So it led me into this whole thing of sorting out old medicine and old ointments and stuff from the fucking 80s in there, like dialyrite from 1980. That's going to fucking kill you rather than sort your shits out, you know?
Yeah.
And I disposed of it correctly before anybody says anything, because there's certain things you've got to do with that sort of waste.
What do you do? Flush it down the jacks?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the fish get it. They got two female whales. They got two cocks.
Two cocks. And constipation. It'd be a great name for a book, Two Cocks and Constipation.
Yeah.
You think you're bad. I got two cocks and constipation. And I'm a whale. Sorry, go on. I disposed of it properly.
Yeah. At the local recycling station, they have a place for it. Old medicines and stuff. So anyway. So this started.
There's a medicine man there in a teepee.
Shaman. With a stick. One of those rain sticks. Remember one of those rain sticks in the
lake? Yeah.
Used to get stoned and turn them upside down. Stupid things. Anyway, so I decided to start cleaning things out. And then I got another figari in the bathroom. We have a bathroom cabinet. It's not. It's a freestanding sort of thing on wheels.
Mm.
It's just full of shit.
Yeah.
So I started going through that. And then that got me into looking at all the hotel shampoo I've ever robbed in my life, which is so old, the plastic was giving way and it was seeping.
Ooh.
So, and of course, me being me, I thought, I'm not going to throw that away. No.
I got to have a massive shower using it all.
I put it all in the shower in a little row. And last night, I was getting through one of the last ones. And I just had a sort of a shave. I got the old clippers out and clipped my beard a bit. And I think I got a little bit of a hair in my eye, right?
Yeah.
You know what it's like, one of those kind of tufty hairs and it gets in your eye and it's kind of annoying or whatever. You think, so it's going to come out. Anyway, I was getting rid of this little pot of shampoo and I thought, all right, I'll rinse it out from the shower up on top and give it a little bit of a shake around and try and empty the bottle so it's nice and clean to go into the recycling. Poured it on my head, the remnants.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my eye was open.
Ah.
And I can't fucking see straight for the last 24 hours.
Oh, fuck.
My fucking, I woke up this morning, it was stuck.
Oh, Jesus.
I cracked it open. I was like, oh, fuck. And then it was all blurry and then I couldn't see. But then I rubbed it and I could see. So it's focusing all right, but it's just red. It looks like one half of my head has been on the piss. Kind of that yellowy red, you know, that sort of like your liver is failing look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit! And that, what do you think it is? It just
this stuff stung like fuck when it went into my eye, but I'd say I've scratched my eyelid or something with the hair.
Yeah,
because I might have gone over my eyebrows. In fact, I did go over my eyebrows with the clippers.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be smart.
Mm.
And one of those big boys has gone into my eye, and it's stuck in there under the lid.
Ooh shit!
Yeah, and it goes. Just...
And you scraped your eyeball. Even if you got the hair out, the scrape is still there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then the your body is sending all this gunk to your eye to heal it, and that the gunk is building up in your eye. Then, and that's obviously what happened this morning when it stuck. Yeah,
yeah, and it really pissed me off because last night I couldn't. I've been falling asleep in front of the TV a lot at night, and last night I was wide awake, and I'm on to Fargo. I've hit Fargo. It's like hitting a vein. That
way.
It's like. Oh, yes. Keep it coming. It's just so... I remember the movie, and I remember the movie being a little bit kind of, hello there now, out the boat, the gill, you know, we're off in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But I...
Let's save that for later.
Yes. But I couldn't even watch it last night. I was sitting in front with one of the remotes over my eye to stop Jesus. Me using my eye. And then I got the hump all together and came to bed.
Did you sleep?
Yeah. Yeah, perfectly. Yeah. Mm. Just woke up with one. Jesus. Yeah. It's funny. I was with my dad recently.
Yeah.
My dad is 86 years old. And I was just going through, sort of, you know, he was talking about, oh, I'm a bit tired today, my legs are a bit sore. He's got sore legs, and he's got sore this, and he's got sore that, and he's got sore the other, and old age is an awful fucking thing.
Yeah.
And he was sitting in, he was sitting there with a pair of chinos, and it was like, it was 30 degrees. It was one of those days were really warm.
Yeah.
He's got his trousers rolled up, and he's got his knees out. He's going, oh, Jesus Christ, that's lovely. It's so I can feel my knees for the first time in 15 years. I said to him, you haven't any trouble sleeping? Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, no, no, no trouble sleeping whatsoever. It's just that I keep waking up. He's a fucking irony. I nearly shot myself. He laughed so hard. He said, what are you laughing at? I said, he said, no, but I just fall off to sleep. No trouble whatsoever. I just have to
just keep waking up.
That's the definition of not sleeping well.
That is trouble sleeping. Oh, Jesus, no. Jesus, no. It's sleep on here. Just wake up.
Yes,
yeah, 5 minutes later.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Jesus, old age, huh? Let's not go there, Mike.
No. Well, let's go there, hopefully.
Let's go there eventually. Maybe not today. No. Let's not, you know, I don't feel like chatting about that today. The sun is shining. Is it warm in Clare?
It's a lovely day, about 20, 21 degrees. The washing's out on the line. I've been out for a little walk with the dog. Yeah, it's beautiful. Had a lovely lunch.
Yeah, it's actually hot here in Kildare. It's beautiful blue skies.
It's hot.
No, it's hot. It's a hot day.
Mm.
Yeah, so definitely.
What are you wearing?
Far too much. I'm wearing jeans at the moment, but I'm thinking about getting into a pair of shorts at some point. We were having the in-laws over for a barbecue, so my wife is working away at that now. I might just put on a pair of shorts. I might just go all out. I've been doing a lot of river swimming lately, Mike.
I've seen you on various social media things.
My social media platforms.
Yes, your social media platforms. And how are you finding the river swimming?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. There's a river, you see, I've been getting into this kind of like, I put it up like it's wild swimming, you know, because people hate that shit. Because someone like got back to me straight away and they were like, it's just swimming. It's not wild swimming. It's just swimming. It's like walking isn't fucking wild walking. It's just walking. It's not wild climbing. You know, but I like to have an argument with these people, and I'm like, yeah, but swimming in a pool is swimming, and then wild swimming is when you find a river that no one else really has ever swam in before. That's kind of wild, you know. But there's a river, so we've been going to this river in Wicklow, which is really nice, and we'll go, like, if it's a really hot day, we'll drive. It's only like a half an hour drive. It's at the foot of the Wicklow Mountains, just as before you drive over through the gap over to Glendalough. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's a bend in the river and it's sandy and it's kind of like a little beach, and it's deep enough so you can jump off this rock, and the kids love it and we love it. So we've been going there, and I've been just obsessed with just getting into rivers. And one of the walks I went on with, you know, this the Dublin Boys club that I go walking with. So one of the walks we did was like a 2-day walk. I think I talked about it on this before, but it's like,
it was up near Letterkenny or something.
Oh, that was a different one. This is a Wicklow one, which is St. Martin's Way. St. Martin's, not St. Martin's Way. Jeez, I've forgotten already. But basically, it's a 2-day walk. So you walk and then camp overnight, and then the next day you set off and you arrive in Glendalough. And it's a beautiful walk. But along the way, there's a couple of spots on the river, on two different rivers that you can swim in. And I can't remember the name of the saint. Fucking hell.
St. Martin's Way.
It's not Martin. It's St. But anyway,
St. Kevin.
St. Kevin. Thank you. St. Kevin's Way. And there's this place, where there's a river that comes back down the mountain. And I think it's called Kevin's Pool or Kevin's Bath or something. But on his trek out to Glendalough, where he set up the monastery, he's supposed to have bathed in this sort of like, it's like a natural pool in the rock, you know, so it's smooth rock and then it's a nice pool. So we're getting, anyway, so I've been obsessed with like getting into rivers and swimming and all that kind of stuff. And I feel there's something, it's therapeutic, and it's beyond just like getting into cold water or You know, because you're seeing, it's no more than like getting in a river on a canoe. You're seeing the world from a different, you know, you're not seeing it from a path or a road. You're seeing it from, you know, the point of view of a swan or a fish or whatever. But it's very similar then when you get into a river and you swim in a river, like you're just seeing the world from a different place. And it's just very, you're away from roads, you're away from people. And it just, it feels very calming. I feel both calm at the time and then energized afterwards.
I'm I'm not a great swimmer.
Right. So
freshwater swimming is a no-no. It's not buoyant enough.
Yeah, like, and there can be a bit of a, like, I wouldn't, anybody listening to this, unless you're happy to, you're a good swimmer and you're a strong swimmer, there can be strong currents as well. You know, you can be taken down river quite quickly if you don't know what you're doing, you know? So do be careful. But I would say that I'm a strong swimmer and I'm comfortable. And they also, they all always say, like, you shouldn't go swimming alone, but
yes,
I would feel confident enough to get into a river on my own. And I know the river, I know the spot, and I know it's not too strong and all that kind of stuff. So I've taken precaution. I've done my research, and you should always do that. Have utmost respect for any bit of water, no matter how deep or how shallow, and always talk to your children about water. But, you know, and that's the reason I would. So this is a river down the end of the road that my son would go to with his friends. So, you know, I started going down there with him just to check out the area, see what it's like, see what the current is like and all that kind of stuff, and get in for myself to make sure it's okay. But during the really hot weather, I was going down there every day on my lunch break, just walking down, getting into the river, and it was absolutely, man, it was game changer.
Yeah, I don't know. The weeds and everything, I just don't know.
That's the thing, you know, it's weird because it's just, I walk down, there's a crossroads, there's quite a busy road, and then you keep going and you're basically through a field over a sty into another field, and then it's literally just like grass and weeds, and you're just jumping into a river. And it's kind of, you know, in one way it's a bit icky, like, you know, it's just muck and weeds and a river.
No.
But at the same time, it's lovely. I love it. So that's what I've been doing. I've been obsessed with that. So I think today is a hot enough day. I might head down there later and get into the river. And
will you take your whole family down there?
I'll see if Finn wants to go, and his cousin is over at the moment. So if they want to come with me, I'll see if they want to come down. If not, I'll just go down myself and literally go down, walk down. It's like half an hour, like there, get into the river and back again. You know, so it's just a. It's a ritual more than anything, you know. It's not like I'm going for the exercise or to get a good swim in or anything, you know. Yeah, and in fact,
the older I get, the less I want to be doing this sort of stuff.
I want to do it more, Mike. The older I get, the more I want to.
Sand and the fucking mud and the fucking changing and everything. And just,
oh man,
I don't know. I just, maybe I need to just sort myself out.
It's an escape from reality. It's just, you step outside your norm and your inner fucking river. And like, who gets into a river down the end of a road? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of crazy. And I'd imagine there are times when people look at me and things I do and presume that I've lost it, you know?
Think so?
I'd imagine so.
There's the bad fella there. He used to be.
Look, he's fucking good into the river now. Look at him. He used to be on the telly. Now I see him jumping into a river down the end of the field.
No wonder they got rid of him.
Jesus Christ, he was mad. They were right. They were right.
He must have been on fucking drugs, that flat.
Lunatic. Jesus Christ. RT were lucky there. They got a lucky escape.
You wouldn't see Joe Dolan jumping into a fucking lake. Or Joe, what his name is?
Joe Duffy. I'd say Joe Duffy would love to jump into a river.
He would. I'd say he leaves his neck scarf on, though.
He'd have to leave the scarf on, yeah. He'd have to be fully suited, a three-piece suit, and he'd just wade in and then baptize himself.
He would probably have something from Louis Copeland, three suit, double-breasted, or three-piece, neoprene.
Yeah. Or he'd have like a swimming onesie, like full-length. You know, like was it Victorian or Edwardian?
Yeah, the stripy ones.
Yeah, when they started going to the beach, they just have a full, like, almost like pajama thing going on.
Made of wool, so it just sags. So the testicles end up by your ankles.
Oh, the chafing. Ooh. Imagine the sand and the wool and the...
Oh, sand. No. Don't do the sand. Ooh. My fucking car is full of sand from beaches. Fucking, I hate it. There you go.
Who are you going to the beach? Oh, is that because Sally Ann likes to do the wild swimming?
No. They were doing that this morning. Sally Ann hasn't done her snarvy sail stuff for a while, actually. A good while. It takes so long to fucking do it, even though it's a 15-minute dip. You got to go down, you got to turn.
Yeah. And they call it Snarvy Sasta, is it?
Snarvy Sasta, yeah. That's
lovely.
A big one on Spanish Point Beach, 9 o'clock every morning, I think.
Oh, I love that.
9 or 10. I went down there this morning. There must have been about 150 people in the water.
Oh, lovely. You see, I'd love that now. I wouldn't seem weird then. If there was 150 people getting into the river, everybody like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah, but everybody's doing it. The happy pair are doing it.
Mm.
Fucking everyone. Got out of the old 40-foot grand. Yeah, you know, we've been doing this for years. And then there's the higher...
They're in Greystones, though. They're in Greystones.
Whatever.
They've invited me down. They've invited me down to go swimming with them.
You should do.
I know, I should. It means I have to get up at like 5. Like, they do a sunrise swim. I'd have to get up... In Newbridge, I have to get up at 4 and then be there for 5 or something.
Yeah, but you're the one that was saying, you know, like, invigorates you and everything.
Yeah, it does, but like, yeah, but
be asked.
No, but like, to try it's invigorating to just jump into a river down the end of the road. It's not invigorating to drive into Dublin traffic to go to Greystones and then back again, you know, after, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's not going to be any traffic. Why would you go to Dublin, to Wicklow, down Greystones?
Well, it's still just driving. I think driving negates the, you know, the benefit you get from nature. Surely it's negative and plus positive and negative ions you're dealing with here.
But don't you drive to the place where you go to anyway?
No, I just walk down the end of my road. The Liffey just flows past.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just drive for half an hour.
No, that's the other place in Wicklow that we were going to and that got me into river swimming. That's where we, and then my son was telling me about this swimming spot that him and his friends go down the end of the road. So I walk down there to check that out, and
I must not have been paying attention.
Yeah, you probably weren't, but it wasn't the most fascinating of stories. You know, it wasn't a cliffhanger. Right? It was just like me banging on about fucking jumping into a river.
Have you noticed the levels go down
when I start talking?
No,
the listenership. I suppose they're down at the moment. In the summer, they're down, and then it'll obviously be higher then in the winter. And I presume we are affected by ESB releasing dams and shit like that as well. So I don't really understand it. I'm sure I'll go down there one day and I'll be like, oh my God, this is terrifying.
Like, I'll get in. Indiana Jones.
I'll be like swept away. It'll be like a crocodile and all sorts coming down.
Yeah, you want to watch it after big outbursts or big outbursts. Like rain,
yeah,
lots of rain and stuff, because you know there's a lot of stuff that's sitting at the moment in treatment plants and stuff around the country that's not making its way to waterways.
Oh, right.
And yeah, those things, once they become overwhelmed, they sort of hit the release gate. It's not just dam water you're getting; it's sort of shit.
Oh, right. So like poo poo.
Yeah.
Big stuff. Wow. Shit! Why are they putting that into the river?
Because they do, they release. That's what happens in a treatment plant. They treat the water and then they clean it and then they release the water. But unfortunately,
sometimes they release water that hasn't been treated.
They have to, because people, when they're building houses, divert all their roof water and rainwater and all that sort of groundwater into sewers. So the sewers become overwhelmed.
Okay.
So your sewage plant then is just getting shit and runoff. And they literally can't cope with it. So they bypass. So sometimes you'll see raw effluent going in. They're having lots of trouble with it in England at the moment. But you'll see raw effluent going into beaches around here, rivers, everywhere. Everywhere they can, they'll dump shit.
Fucking hell. Yeah, I know in the UK they forgot because of they were under EU law. And then obviously with Brexit, they kind of forgot or didn't get around to bringing in laws about effluent going into their own, into the sea. And now it's kind of a free for all, isn't it?
Well, they have a derogation license to when stuff gets overwhelmed that they can use an overflow. But the problem was, what we're seeing now is that as a result of Brexit is a lack of chemicals, because they used to use chemicals to polish the water. And those chemicals are for a number of reasons, geopolitical and Brexity, aren't getting into the UK. And this derogation order was written. There was a new law passed, and lots of Conservative ministers voted it through and said, yeah, whatever, you can put whatever you want into the sea, which has made pretty much the south of England unswimmable. So it's a fucking disaster. It's horrible.
Yeah, sounds literally, sounds like a lot of shit.
It is a lot of shit, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That is bad. So so ideally, what we should be doing is all the gutter water and tap water, shower water?
No. That's grey. That's all the runoff from your roof and your driveways and everything, and all the public sort of water, surface water drains should be going directly into rivers and watercourses,
yeah,
or soakaway pits or whatever.
Yeah.
Your gutters shouldn't be going anywhere near your sewers, but right, they do.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah.
God, we really have a knack of fucking things up, don't we?
Oh, don't talk to me. Yeah, I'm kind of down about the environment at the moment. I mean, we just keep fucking it.
Yeah, it's not getting any better, is it? No one cares.
Worse really quickly.
That's but also, you're up against these people, obviously the climate deniers and...
Oh,
oh God!
What a
humanity! Dose. Humanity! Mike, listen. Tell me about. Look, let's get into it. Let's get away from the negativity and let's check something out.
Oh,
check. It's slow starting this morning, Mike. Check it out. What's it all about?
What's it all about? Well, I went to see Thor.
Did you?
Love and Thunder this week.
I'm going to eat some pineapple here, so carry on.
Okay, so my family and I, Sally Ann, myself, and Jimmy, have pretty much watched all of the Marvel Universe stuff since Iron Man, and we've watched it all together, and we've made a point of going to the cinema when the big blockbusters come out. And we watched it and it all got to this thing, Endgame. And then ever since, they've been sort of releasing backstories about Doctor Strange and another Thor and another this and another that and the other. So we've kind of kept going with it. And they've released a whole load of new stuff on Disney as well. A lot of it is a bit crap. But Thor, I really like the Thor movies because your man Hemsworth is in it, or Hemsworth, the Australian fella.
Chris,
He's very good. But unfortunately, we went to see this film on, I'm going to say Thursday night. And it's coming to the end of its run in cinemas. So the cinema was empty, pretty much. There was us. There was a guy with six kids, about three rows behind us, of differing ages. I'd say he was taking the 12 and 13-year-old kids out, and then the two little ones came with him. And they didn't stop fucking talking all the way through. And it's like, and they were talking about other stuff, like not the film or anything. They weren't commentating. They were just like, and then unfortunately I made the mistake of where we were sitting. There were four lads sitting literally on our row, but the other side of the aisle. And they were kind of on their phones and acting the bollocks before the thing and through the trailers. And I thought they're going to calm down in a minute. The film started, they didn't start calming down. They started throwing stuff at each other. And I just sat up and I went, lads. And they shut up. And that was the worst thing I could have done. Because the rest of the fucking film, they're shining their battery, fucking their torch at me. They're making noise. They've got this big 2-liter bottle of Coke that they've obviously smuggled in. And they're letting it go and fucking popcorn out and just talking. And generally acting the bollock. I wanted to fucking kill them.
Jesus Christ, Mike.
Do you know when somebody fucking gets on your tits and just fucking annoy the shit out of you? I thought, this is a really, you know, it's a relatively violent movie. He's walking around with an axe all the time and a hammer.
Yeah.
And they're doing stuff. And I'm thinking, every part of me wanted to go over and just say, lads. And these lads were like 17, 18, big fuckers. Like, I'm thinking they're going to kill me, but I just love to go over and just pummel two or three of them. They were so fucking annoying. And then you kind of think, you know, they're only young lads in the cinema.
Don't
lose their head.
Yeah.
I kept looking at them. And then they kept kind of looking at me, kind of squaring up. And I'm thinking, oh, no, they're going to fucking jump me after this film. They're going to kick the shit out of me down some alley. And I'm going to die. And I just,
I love how quickly you flipped there from, like, I just want to fucking pummel two of them to, oh, no, they're going to attack me and I'm going to be killed down an alleyway. Oh, my God. The emotions.
But the film was shit as well, which didn't help. It really didn't help. Your man... Hemsworth was hamming it up. I mean, he was just, hello, I am Thor. It was crap. There were a couple of good moments. Your man, who, of course, we've forgotten the name, stole the show, guy who played Zeus, because he ended up at this gods convention, like loads of gods sitting around in this place. And Russell Crowe, you know Russell Crowe?
Yeah, Australian.
Playing Zeus, the god of gods.
Right.
And he's got one of those gold-plated chest sort of things like centurions would have.
Yeah.
So he was kind of dressed like he was in the film he was really famous for, the one
Gladiator. Mm.
But because he's put on a little bit of Deccan, a good bit of Deccan.
Yeah, he's a bigger man now.
This thing had a belly in it.
Deadly.
Because normally these movies, they kind of accentuate the chest and the pecs and the all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But his one, it was fucking brilliant. And he was doing it, like a Greek fella who's lived in England for 10 years. Hello there, boys. And he was absolutely fucking brilliant. He stole the show.
Deadly.
Pretty brilliant. But yeah, this big gut and fucking all this kind of gold on him and whatever, and playing with his lightning rod. He was brilliant. Yeah.
Would you sit through the shit film just to see his bits?
No.
I don't mean his bits. He doesn't get his bits out.
No, he doesn't. No, your man actually gets his bits out at that point.
Chris Harmsworth.
Yeah. All the ladies faint when they see Thor's midrange. Yeah.
His willy.
Yeah, but you don't see it, obviously. But your man blows his clothes off.
Oh,
Thor
wow.
Thor is just standing there with his hammer or his axe or whatever it is.
Is that what he calls his willy? No. I will smite you with my big hammer.
Thunderclap.
Thunder bastard.
Yeah. So it was dreadful. It was shit. The whole thing was a shit show.
So as a whole, the whole experience, going to cinema, shitty teenagers acting the bollocks, threatening to kill you. You thinking about killing them, Thor being shit. Bad day out.
And you know, and it reminds you, if you're going to see one of these films, it was a rookie era.
Yeah.
Go when they're about a week old.
Yeah.
So the place is fairly full. Because if they were surrounded by people, those four lads, on all sides, somebody would have said, listen, lads, shut the fuck up.
You would have had support. Yeah.
And it's just
But you did say it to them. You did say lads to them.
I did. But there was nobody else, you know, they
no one to back you up. They didn't give a shit. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what you get. That's what happens when you turn into a grumpy owl lad.
I know, and I looked, and unfortunately, they must have looked at me and thought, he's more like Zeus than fucking Thor.
They weren't like worried. They weren't worried about your big hammer.
I was more Russell Crowe than fucking Harmsworth. It was very disappointing. I was very disappointed.
Oh, Mike, that doesn't sound great. But look, thanks. So, would you give it what would you give that movie out of 10 if you had to score it?
Four
for Thor.
yeah.
Good. Yeah. Okay, don't go see it, people. That's your top tip.
A juice for Zeus.
Good.
Thank you. Yeah, I was trying to rack my brains there. Yeah.
Well done. You did it well. You pulled it off.
Thank you.
not
Thor.
Not Thor, not his hammer, no. So that, I suppose, what we're saying here is don't check it out.
No.
What about Fargo?
While you're on that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, go on. Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't check out, Doctor Strange.
I wouldn't check that out anyway.
The multiverse.
I would never go to see Thor or Doctor Strange.
The first Thor is fantastic. Really comedic. Like, really, really, really funny. Laugh out loud. You don't have to like super.
I don't like that, we're taking the piss out of the genre. Like, well, just do it or don't. It's like as if Star Wars started taking the piss out of itself.
In fact, there is one of them called Orville.
Yeah?
There's a Star Wars ripoff called Orville, O-R-V-I-L-L-E. And in desperation for something techie to watch, I watched that the other day. I'd seen some review about it.
Yeah.
And it's Seth MacFarlane. You know, he does...
Yeah, he does Family Guy.
Yeah.
He's a Family Guy.
He's not the fella you want to hit with a cricket bat. It's just some look about him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that. He's just...
I'm sure he's a lovely man.
Yeah, absolutely. But I can't stand him. And he's not great when he's playing himself.
Is live action, live action or is it a cartoon?
No, he's effectively playing Captain Kirk. Like, he's the actor. It's actors.
Okay, and it's a Star Trek spoof.
Yeah, no, it's not even a spoof. It's kind of kind of taking the Mickey out of itself. It's loads of people rave about it online, but I just didn't get it.
And right.
I watched two of them. I thought that's 2 hours of my life I'm never getting back.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Okay, well, I won't watch that.
No, sorry. This is kind of don't check it out.
Yeah, this is bad. Well, this is handy for people because they'll know not to watch these things. You're saving people time. As you said, 2 hours you won't get back, you know, but you've saved them those 2 hours. And what about Doctor Strange gloves or whatever the hell?
Oh, the multiverse. I mean, you could have told the story in 5 minutes. I would have preferred if he came on, what's his name?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, and just sort of spoke in a normal accent because his accent isn't great as an American.
Right.
And he's not... I've got a problem with him and Tom Hiddleston playing these superheroes because they're not exactly beefed up, sort of like, you know, they fight and it's just like, oh, you
is that the thing though? Is that they're everyman? You know, they're not. It's anyone can be a, you know, like Spider-Man is just he's just a regular bloke, you know.
Yeah, but he's kind of he's ripped and he kind of does stuff and he's thin, but he can go through the air and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a bit more believable. These characters, I don't know where they're dredging them up from, but the Doctor Strange is just a bit, well, I know where they're dredging them up from, comics and stuff, but he just doesn't, it's sort of like they cast your man and now they can't not have him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's just, and he's got this really kind of American accent.
Yeah.
And it's just not believable. Don't
this is another film I wasn't going to watch and now I definitely won't watch. Can we get on to some good stuff then, Mike?
Well, I've been watching Borgen. I don't know if you've ever watched Borgen. It's on, all of Borgen now is available on Netflix.
Borgen is something that I've sort of looked at and thought, I think I might enjoy that, but I've never quite explain Borgen.
It is the name of the Danish Parliament is the something something Borgen, so they call it Borgen, B-O-R-G-E-N, and it's a Danish political drama, no more and no less than that. And it's about the lives of the people, but it is phenomenally well acted, and the stories are fantastic. And even if you haven't seen the old ones, there's a brand new one on Netflix at the moment. It's the third series, so you can watch it cold. It kind of tells you, you know, this woman was prime minister, and now she's in a party that are clinging on for power.
Mm.
And the prime minister that she's clinging on for power with her has made her the sort of the foreign secretary to shaft her and hope that she won't succeed. And in the middle of it, Iceland find oil. So the Danes have to deal with it. And it's all about Ukraine, Putin, everything is in there.
Okay.
And it's this drama. And she's fantastic. You're one, the lead actress. You'll know her. She's been in a few sort of English language things, but she's fantastic. You have to watch it in subtitles, but that's okay. It is.
Is it okay, Mike? This is the, yes. I wanted to get to that.
Yes.
You're okay with the subtitles?
We have.
Even with your gammy eye.
Yes, last night we've been watching another one called State of Happiness, which is about Stavanger when they found oil in the 1960s in Norway. And again, you have to look at it, but you have to read it. You have to, you know, you can't just watch it. It's in Norwegian, but it's fantastic TV. Those Scandi things are brilliant. And it's not just Scandi noir and Scandi crime and murders and being found in sort of bleak black and white places. It's these are dramas about things that are happening politically and sort of, you know, culturally. They're brilliant.
Borgen. And what was the other one you mentioned briefly there?
It's called State of Happiness.
State of Happiness.
Yeah.
They put a lot of money into their TV, like they invest in these dramas. Mm. Like it's impressive, you know. But they get the results, they get the returns, you know. They RT really, sort of really have a crack at it every now and then, but it's very expensive for them to do it, you know.
It is. They did one with one from The Commitments, which was half Dutch and half Irish.
Yeah.
And they were looking at, it was about dirty diamonds. That was quite good. I can't remember what it was called, but she's in it. It won't be that difficult. It's on the iPlayer, or the.
Is it the blonde one from The Commitments? Or
yes.
Yeah. I haven't watched that one, but Kin I thought was quite good.
Yeah, very good. Mm. Apart from the fact that your man, they turned his volume down. I have that issue with one or two of the things. There seems to be a lot of characters in these things, and it's almost like they're doing the first one as a foundation for the second series.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It gets too complicated too quickly, and that kind of loses me. And the fellow with the beard, who is a really good actor, and the long hair, who was the head of the kin guy.
Emmett Scanlon, is that his name? Yeah. What's the bleeding story? That, you know, that's the big, the great whispering, the great whispering acting. I don't know what you'd call it.
You wondered it as well. Dervla Kerwin, in the one that was filmed around here. And she, the worst thing about her was she would whisper and turn away from the camera. So it was like, you couldn't fucking make out from her lips what she was saying.
She was acting is about reacting, Mike. Acting is about reacting.
Yeah.
I've been watching Better Call Saul, finally.
Oh, yeah.
Well. Yeah, I like it. It's a kind of a slow burner. Like, you have to really... become... I'm starting to like the guy. And it's weird. There's lots of weird things about it. Like, it's just not your run-of-the-mill...
No,
like the romance, his friendship with the blonde lady, his colleague, his co-worker, his friend. That's a weird kind of like but it's probably a more honest portrayal of a relationship.
Very much so. It's almost like I want to say amorphic. It's not a love story. They're not passionate.
No, they're just like having sex sometimes and chatting about shit. And it's more real. It's more like an actual relationship. Like, it's very. It's very real. I was thinking about this during the week, and I was thinking about, you know, the way people write books or make films about, you know, everyday lives or, you know, sort of extraordinary lives, you know, crazy things that happen. If you look at sort of like Better Call Saul or Fargo and the fucking crazy shit that happens. Our private lives are probably that crazy. It's just that we pretend they're not.
Yeah, I mean, there's a BBC drama at the moment called Marriage, which is Sean Bean and another lady, and it's real fly on the wall. I mean, they don't particularly like each other. They're married to each other, and they kind of argue about putting the bins out and stuff.
Yeah,
and nothing's happening, but you can't stop watching it.
Yeah,
you know, and it is that Better Call Saul is very much like that. It does dip like Breaking Bad. There's bits and pieces that you can kind of zub through almost, you know?
There's definitely bits where I can look at my phone for a little while.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that doesn't work. But it keeps getting better and better and better. The last two or three seasons are just phenomenal. And nobody's particularly good looking. Nobody's particularly, you know, angry or anything. In fact, they're all relatively ugly, the people. You know what I mean? The lead man is this kind of balding guy.
Mm.
The hit man is kind of, you know, really ugly.
Yeah.
Your one Rhea Seahorn, the actress is quite good looking, but she's very plain.
She's also playing a plain Jane sort of type. Yeah. Which we all are. We're all plain Janes, Mike. Come on.
Exactly. You know. Oh, no, this is it. She's normal. So nothing is glammed up for it.
No. I like the brother. I like the brother as well. Cooking his food on the gas and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's a bit of
himself in tinfoil. Yeah,
he's a bit of a dick as well, isn't he? Like, he's got notions.
Yeah, and Charles is one of my favorite characters.
Charles is
the blonde-haired guy with the two-tone shirts. And
the head of the big lawyer dude. I mean, it's so, you can really see how life is so full of shit, and some people are full of shit and such snobs and snobbery. Whereas, like, actually, the line between a criminal and the lawyer upholding
the law,
you know, the criminal breaking the law and the lawyer upholding the law, there's not much difference between those people, you know. And I love the guy, the hitman guy, explaining to the nerdy dweeby dude who was, he's a great character. The guy who was selling he had acquired drugs from a factory, prescription drugs, and he was selling them to these, you know, drug dealers, obviously. I love the way he was explaining to him, you know, you are a criminal. Now, you can be a good person or a bad person, and there's good people who are criminals and bad people who are criminals, but the fact is you're a criminal, you know. And it's just like the guy was trying to say, yeah, but I'm not really that. And he's like, you're now a criminal. That's it. You sold prescription drugs to a drug dealer for cash. And you know, it was just really good. And the guy buying the big fucking flash Hummer then with the money he made. And but the story, what's his name? Saul. What is his actual name? The character. Anyway,
Saul Goodman.
So the story he had to come up with to convince the cops to let the dweeby Hummer buying dude off about him being into this fetish of film, you know, selling videos of him sitting on cakes.
Yeah.
I just thought it was fucking, and then to prove that it was a real thing, he had to get the guy to make this video.
Yeah.
I just thought that was beautiful. It's like the writing is just like, the writers obviously just let themselves just
go
off on tangents, or just make up the most ridiculous things and just go with it, and then make it because it is normal, because there's crazy shit out there, Mike, and that's why it works, you know.
And people get into trouble for the weirdest of things.
Oh, it's like that's exactly what I'm kind of obsessed with, this idea, like, that we look at something like Better Call Saul, or we look at something like Fargo, and we think, oh, look how crazy their lives are, look at that person who's doing that. Like, Fargo is quite mental, but all this shit happens behind closed doors. We just don't ever hear about it. And when a writer sits down to write, it's usually about stuff they've seen or they've experienced, or their family or friends have experienced or seen. It's all real, you know? And we just like to think of it as, oh, it's that crazy thing that's going on in that TV program. But man, it's probably happening two doors down in someone's gaff. There's someone sitting on a cake making a video of it and selling it to some guy in Japan.
Exactly. I mean, that Fargo starts off with a crime of passion. Martin Freeman, you know, and the wife.
Yeah.
Just droning on him.
Yeah.
Fucking, why wouldn't you fucking stick a hammer in her head? I mean,
but the thing about that was, like, with her, like, you feel like she should just killed him for, like, he was clearly driving her mad. She wasn't, he wasn't the type of man she expected him to be. No. He wasn't making the big bucks. And his brother and the wife were doing quite well. They had lots of money, and that was driving her fucking mad.
Yeah.
And I married
the wrong brother.
Yeah, but also it's that, like, she's powerless. She has decided that she's powerless in that situation. Like, what, she can't leave him? She can't go out and get her own job? She can't become successful in her own right? She's basically decided, I'm stuck with this idiot who can't make any money, and this is my life. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, people are so blindfolded, aren't they?
But you see, but that's the middle of the road sort of America that's going on. People daren't leave because of, you know, because of the church and what people think of us, and what the people down the road with this little family, with, you know, a little dog, and I knit things and da 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 da. And it's like, yeah, can't upset the apple cart.
You've only got one life, Mike. If anyone takes anything away from this rambly chat that we're having, you only got one life.
Yeah.
And you
don't spend it on fucking Thor.
Yeah, don't go to Thor. Don't have a row with any 18-year-olds in the cinema. But you've only got one life. You don't get a do-over, man. You don't get a do-over.
No.
So if it's shit,
change it.
You have the power to change it. You know, it takes a bit of work. It takes a bit of effort. It takes a bit of whatever. But you have the power to change it, you know. That's the thing. You know?
You're banging on the money, and not a lot of people will go, absolutely, and then go back to their miserable life.
Miserable life, that's the perfect, for me, is a perfect scenario where she's in that situation, a situation that she's had as much, as responsible for creating that situation as he is, which it's all of the blame for her not having the life she wants, she just points the finger. And that's what lots of people do. They point the finger at why their life is shit, and they blame somebody else rather than going, actually, where's my responsibility here? How can I make things better? You know?
Yeah. Also, don't marry your childhood sweetheart.
Well,
although you've done that.
Yeah, it's a big... That's what I'm getting to. Listen, we're getting divorced. You know, it didn't work out. You know, I had to take control.
Take her down. Actually, and
the thing about that, even within a relationship, like you can, like everybody gets to places within the relationship where they feel a bit stuck, or it's not as exciting as it used to be, or you know, you think you used to love them more, or, you know, this is life. That's what happens. It happens with friendships, happens with relationships, happens with jobs. You know. But the thing is to work if you keep working on yourself, that keeps everything exciting, you know?
I think love,
and you influence the people around you.
It dulls your senses, doesn't it? It heightens the sort of the amorous sort of stuff at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it dulls your senses to the stuff you don't like about the person.
Yeah.
And then time, surely, you know,
reveals
things that you
don't like that, and I don't like that. But if you're focusing,
I'm not talking about personal stuff here.
You're talking about my wife. if you're focusing on the things you don't like about my wife, Mike, there's something wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like if the thing that they're doing with the dishwasher is driving you fucking insane, that's something about you that you need to reflect on. That's not the problem. That's a thing that you've decided is the problem.
Mm.
So there's these little things that, you know, the way he breathes. Oh my God, I just want to strangle him.
Yeah.
No, you probably need to go to therapy.
You need to talk to somebody about that.
Person is breathing just fine. That's just the way they've always breathed. But now you've got an issue with it because you've got shit going on in the back, in your subconscious. And this is just... Anyway, it got kind of heavy and philosophical there.
Well, you did.
It did. If you're checking that now, I suppose Better Call Saul, but I'm late to the party, so lots of people are probably watching that already. But
the last one has only come out this week.
Yes, so I think I'm only on series 2.
Okay, yeah. I would say 3 and 4 dip a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe 3 does. It gets a bit into his brother and a bit kind of, it loses its weight ever so slightly, but don't worry about it. Okay. Keep on.
Okay, I'll keep on keeping on. I'll keep with it. And Fargo, finally, do you want to give a little talk about your enjoyment of Fargo before we wrap it up?
Well, is it true? I keep saying it's a true story, but I don't know whether it's just like a fictional true story. Do you know what I mean? It keeps saying every time it's a true story based on these characters and that we've changed the names, but we've kept everything else the same.
My understanding of, or I've actually, you just Google it and it's like, Fargo 1996 is not based on a true story, but it is inspired by one. The 1996 Academy Award winning movie Fargo is not a faithful adaptation of real events, even though the film opens with a title card claiming otherwise. So obviously the stories aren't based on a true story, but inspired by true stories. Is the TV show Fargo based on a true story? Technically, the film was inspired by two different true crimes, right? But then they changed them, obviously, to make them more insane, obviously.
But nothing insane is happening. I mean, a lot of people ended up in boots and stuff, but there's drug dealers involved. So, you know, and there's millionaires who are erratic and irrational, and there's just normal people. And it's the normal people that are the issue in this program. I mean, there's a bit when a cop, you know, pulls over the baddie.
Yeah.
Or is he the goodie? I'm only 3-4 episodes in. And the guy says, listen.
He's definitely not the goodie.
No. I can kind of see that at this stage. But I mean, he's like, don't arrest me. It'll be a mistake. And if you've got kids at home, you'll never see them again.
Yeah. He literally just finishes this conversation now, walk away.
And I just think, wow, that must have happened somewhere. I'm sure it has. I'm sure some deviant criminal has said to some cop, listen, you're on 20 grand a year or something. You know, I've got 6 guns in here pointing at you. Just stroll away. You'd want to be some ballsy police officer to kind of go, let me see your license and registration, sir.
Mike, I can tell you now, I would 100% walk away from that guy. Like, if I don't think cops, guards, whatever, policemen, I don't think they're paid enough.
No.
To be dealing with that shit.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think that's another conversation for another time. I mean, what do they owe? You know, firemen, they run into buildings that are on fire that everybody else is running out of.
Mm.
Really, there's no amount of money, remuneration we can give them to add up to that. But you have to set it somewhere, don't you?
Yeah.
And this brings me on to Mick Lynch, actually.
Oh, good. Yeah, good old Mick Lynch, yeah.
I'm listening to him. I'm watching him a lot. Mick Lynch, he was in Tipperary last week on his holidays, head of the RMT union, man and boy, electrician, but possibly one of the most eloquent people on the planet.
Yeah, Irish parents moved to, where is he? London?
Streatham or something, yeah.
The son of Irish immigrants got into, his dad was obviously big into the, was yes. it big in the union?
Somebody before him was the head of the IT. No, that's somebody else different I'm talking about, actually. Sorry. There's a lot of Irish people involved in, I think, the head of the Congress of Trade Unions in the UK. So that's the group that knits all the trade unions together, is Irish. And her uncle was the guy who came up with the ITG and WU.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we love her. Yeah. We love unions and being involved.
We do love
in
a
unions.
Union, yeah. And he speaks about James Connolly a lot, doesn't he?
Mm.
Being his hero. Anyway, I don't know why we've gone from Fargo to that, but yeah, what people get paid, policemen, firemen.
Mick Lynch.
Yeah.
You were saying, so obviously you enjoyed his interview with James O'Brien, did you?
Loved it. And he had him on for an hour the other day. If you can listen back to LBC last Friday, which was the 19th of August, there is a listen back facility on LBC. He did an hour long phone-in so people could just ring up and tell him how pissed off they were at rail strikes and whatever.
Oh, wow.
But nobody did. Everybody rang up and sort of said, I really admire you, Mick.
Doing a great job, mate.
Yeah. But again, you know, again, he is a single track pony. He's only got one thing to think about and one thing to do. So, you know, he can get clarity.
Yeah. And he knows his shit. He knows his subject matter inside out. So people can ask him about anything and he'll be able to answer it calmly. No panic. Yes. The problem with politicians and those, they're just in the door. They're trying to learn their brief. They don't know what the fuck is going on. They're panicking.
Yeah.
And someone is asking about the union and all their, and it's all sound bites. And they're given 3 sound bites. And just make sure you blame the fucking workers. You blame the disruption. You blame the whatever. And he's coming back with like facts about how much money's been made by these rail operators, the profits, all this kind of stuff. And you see now they're trying to get this, they're trying to create this nationwide organization of people to picket and strike and march against the cost of living crisis. And he's spearheading the whole thing.
Yeah, trying to get a general strike going like it was in the 70s. Now, that's not good for anyone.
Well, I think there's a lot more transparency this time because people are aware of the facts that these big companies are making big profit. There's a cost of living crisis. The people making money are still making money and probably making more money, and they're making the working class and the middle class pay for it in a cost of living crisis, which actually doesn't exist. It's been created.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I mean, the shit going into the sea in England, as we spoke about earlier on, they privatize the water companies. What do you think they're going to do?
Yeah.
You know, they do a daily assessment of how much are we going to get charged for pumping raw sewage into Brighton?
Mm. Oh, it's worth
$3 million a day. Fuck it, it's worth it.
Mm.
Still, you know, and with that sort of thing, once you privatize something like water, it's not like you can say, I want to be County Clare water. I'll go for Kildare because they're better. It's like there's one pipe. So these big water companies in England and France and wherever they have them, one company and one pipe and one tap, and that's it. You don't have any choice. So they can screw you for money.
They have a monopoly.
Yeah. And they don't have to invest because the regulators are all shit. Wow. This is big.
This is heavy shit, man. This is heavy shit. I wanted to say also, I really enjoyed Mick's chat with James O'Brien, and it really reminded me of, for some reason, his chat with Billy Bragg.
Yes.
Yeah. Very similar characters, upbringing, views, and just kind of almost like, but ends up in totally different fields. One in heavily, you know, into unions and all that kind of stuff. And Billy Bragg obviously is an artist and a musician, but quite political as well. But yeah,
massively political, massively Labour Party, you know, keep the red flag flying and stuff, and socialist. But then again, you see, socialist has become a bad word. Liberalism has become a bad word.
Yeah. And you can't be socialist and liberal, can you?
No. Everybody's being gaslit by everyone that, you know, your politics are better than mine and mine are better than yours. Mm. Whereas in reality... Yeah.
And also choose your box, like choose your...
Yeah.
Choose your flag. It's like, no, I'm not going to choose the flag. It's going to pick and choose. Thank you very much. So there's another thing to check out. I'm sure we've mentioned it before, but James O'Brien's podcast and obviously the radio show. I must listen back to that phone in. Mike, got to go. Got to get the barbecue going for the in-laws.
Get some prawns on the barbie, mate.
It's baby down by the river, down by the billabong. I got to get in the billabong. Jesus Christ. Mike, I'm going to get into modelling.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've decided.
Oh, modelling what?
I don't know. I've got a bit of grey in my beard now. I've got a bit of grey in my hair. So I've decided to be like that. I'm going to be like that. Not elder, but slightly older gentleman model. I'm going to clean up.
Well, listen, you're not a bad looking man. You've got, you've got all the right things in all the right places.
Mm.
Not like, other people with two dicks.
Not the two dicks and the constipation, but
although that would sell some things.
Well, I could probably make a good bit of money on my OnlyFans if I had two willies.
Definitely, yeah. I would. Definitely.
Is it two willies side by side, or is it like one drawn out of your shoulder? What are you picturing?
I'd say side by side.
Yeah, just two willies just dangling there beside each other. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They'd need a support team, obviously. So you'd have four testicles.
You'd have to have four testicles, and then I suppose, would you have enough blood in your system to make them both erect at the same time? That's the other question. Jeez. You might faint. These are the big questions we won't be answering because we have to go. But I'll tell you more about my modeling career as it unfolds.
Have you signed up with an agency?
Possibly, Mike. Yeah, possibly. It's all in the
wow.
Conversations going on,
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. If you need sort of before shots, they can take a picture of me.
I'm just going to be out there doing it for the normal looking blokes, that with a bit of grey, the aging normal looking blokes. That's my, I'm going to pick up that work.
I did some modelling in my youth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Limerick Art College students wanted me to fashion week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a picture. I'll take a picture of it the next. My mother actually has it hanging up in the house at home.
Okay, get the picture. We'll somehow include it for the podcast listeners. We'll get them so they can have
I'll
a
put
listen.
Put it up on Twitter or something.
Mike as a model. Wow.
Yeah, makeup and everything. Yeah, if I do say so myself, I was a fox.
Mike, I'm looking forward to it,
Okay, listen, go fire up the barbie.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Hope it gets as hot there as it is here.
It is actually. I'm beginning to swelter.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Go.
Thank you.
Miss Take
you.
It easy. All right. Love you, man. Bye. Love you. Bye. 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 Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.